Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise in the house tonight. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. I can't wait to preach I think after tonight, I don't preach until Saturday. So that's a long time for me. So praise Jesus. I'm going to just let it all out. I'm going to let you out. So I might preach till midnight. If you fall out, we'll raise you up from the dead. Don't worry about that. But no, I won't torture you. But I know that we've just been honored to be here. We're grateful. We're thankful for all. We're thankful for everyone. I wanted you to give yourself a hand. How about our sound people? They've been helping all our nursery workers, all the people that help. We're so grateful because this can't happen without their volunteering and their laboring and for us to enjoy the services. Well, in a moment, I'm going to unpack the word of the Lord. But give Meliana a hand as she comes.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. And also, I want to say thank you so much for your hospitality and your generosity. Again, we're so grateful that we were able to be here the last three nights. We're so blessed. We got to always hang out the last few nights with the little people, the young people, hanging out in a restaurant. Always fun, always joy to. Yeah, but... And we're so grateful. Again, I know this is our last night. I just want to encourage you that I know that even though we leave, I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit never leaves. Amen? He is here, and He is. You guys are continuing to move forward and do what God have called you all to do. But I just want to make sure you stay in a path that God have called you to be. Amen? So you can be able to fulfill the promises of God that God have promised you, not only through His word, but even through the prophetic word. Amen? I know I always count it as a privilege when John... gave me the microphone to come and greet you and say hello. And what I love to do, I love to tell stories. Because I'm sure by now you should already know that I always tell stories. And I love telling stories because it helped me to connect my thought with what I really wanted to share. But I shared last night about, and I mentioned this morning that I went and did a COVID test and I got it positive, and I threw it away because I was determined to get make sure, because you can't travel with a positive test. So I pray, I ask God, heal my body if there's any virus, because I need a negative test so I can travel. See, like Tuesday, we have to fly to Hawaii. We both have to go get a COVID test done so we can be able to fly there. But anyway, why did I share that story? Because my desire is to encourage you and to remind you and to know the authority that we have, that you have. Because if we don't know the authority that you have, you hide from everything. You hide from the COVID, you know. You hide from fear. I mean, why we fall into anxiety and depression? Why? Because we're so fearful. I'm not saying, listen, David dealt with that. Because he said, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Why are you so angry, you know? And he realized this is not right. It's not right for a Christian to continue to live that way. But then he said, I will put my trust in the Lord, or yet I will worship the Lord. Amen? Because let me tell you what, when we worship the Lord, His word says that those who worship the Lord lack nothing. Amen? Yes, because what happened when we worship the Lord, God will help us to line up our thinking with how He think about us. Otherwise, we'll be caught up on the crisis or whatever the enemy tried to oppress us with. But anyway, that's why I share that story, because I wanted you and I to remember and to understand and know the authority that we have. I have John have a book. I think I have only three books left back there. It's called Awakening the Lion. And And what a perfect book, especially for what's going on right now. He wrote it 3 years ago, edited it 2 years ago, finally came out last year. And what a perfect book to come out, especially right now, because a lot of people are so afraid with everything, not knowing the authority, again, not knowing the authority that they have. Because his word says to arise and shine, for the glory of God will flow out or streaming out of you. We can't shine if we're hiding. We can't shine if we're afraid. We can't shine if we're so filled with fear and anxiety. You can shine when you know who you are. And what a perfect time to shine right now. Why? Because you can't shine if it's so bright. Nobody can see your light. Why? Because it's blended. Because it's bright. But the perfect time to shine is right now. Let me tell you what, and I know you know it's true. This is the darkest moment in all our life history of everyone here tonight. This is the darkest moment in our life. And what a perfect time for the Christian, what a perfect time for the church to arise and shine. Why? Because it's dark. You can shine if it's bright, but you can shine when you can shine when it's dark. Amen. What a perfect time for the church to display the authority that we have, the goodness, the joy of the Lord, the peace of joy. How can we shine if we're angry all the time? You can shine. How can you shine if we're so filled with anxiety all the time? But this is a perfect time. Listen, we can't shine if there's nothing in here. That's why it's so important. Every time the church door is open, we need to be here. What will happen when we hear the word of God? It will empower us. It will strengthen us so we know the authority that we have so we can shine. Amen? Last year, John and I, we were ministering in Northern California. And summer last year, there were fire everywhere in California. My goodness, I'm so grateful California is still standing because there were so many fire. And I remember we were ministering in Northern California, and there were fire everywhere, smoke day and night. You can't see the fire, but there is smoke everywhere. And I remember watching the news, some of the wild animal running for their lives. I remember there was a bear in Truckee trying to walk into a Safeway grocery stores. Why? Because the wild animal was trying to run for their lives because they were coming out because they were fired everywhere. And I remember watching the news tell some of the wild animal they show, their fur got burned. Even underneath their foot got burned because they were running on the hot coal. They don't know that's fire that they are running on because they were trying to run for their lives because of the fire. And I remember where we were staying. I remember that, and it was everywhere on the news. And remember last year, everything was shut down. You can't go to the restaurant. And I remember I wanted to go outside and walk, jog a little bit, but the gym all closed down. So I figured, well, I'll wait for the evening. Hopefully it will cool down from 108 to cool down. Then I'll go outside and walk or jog a little bit. So I wait for the evening, and then it went. Then I got outside and start walking out, and it was still warm. I look, it was 98. I say, well, it's better than 108. So then I walk, and because it was so hot, just walking. So it's probably a mile away from where we were staying. And it was dusk, and I look out right in front of the street where I was walking or running into. These animals are crossing the street where I was running into. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh, because it was so fresh in my mind, the wild animal running for their lives. And I was like, oh, my gosh, they look like mountain lion. So immediately I turned around and ran all the way back. I didn't walk. I ran because I was so afraid because it was dusk. And I was so scared. Praise God, I made it home safe. Thank you, Jesus. Later on that evening, someone came by and I was telling them the story. And they said, oh, yeah, we saw it. But they were not mountain lion. They were deers. They were deers. Let me tell you what. If I found out they were deers, I'll run up with my phone, take pictures, post in social media. But you can't do that with mountain lion. That's why I ran. I ran for my life. And then I thought about this. Can you imagine if you and I know the authority that we have? We'll be minding our own business, walking down the street, minding our own business. But when the devil sees you, when fear, worry, the enemies of our soul sees you, when sickness sees you, guess what? They'll run away from you. Why? Because they're afraid of you. They see the authority of God in your life. They'll see the peace. They'll see the joy. They'll see the love. They'll see the goodness of God in your lives. And they will be afraid of you and they'll run away from you. Amen? Yes! Here I was, ran away from deers, thinking that they were mountain lion. But they were deers. I quote a scripture on Friday night. Proverbs 28, verse 1, it says, wicked flee when no one pursues them, but the righteous are as bold as lion. Amen? Yes! We're supposed to be bold. Know who we are. Otherwise, we'll run away from nothing. We'll run away afraid of nothing. We're running. I felt bad because we have to get off quickly and ran to our hotel because we have to do Zoom with our core group in our church. And we were talking to them, and I'm talking about the story of David. That here he came to kill Goliath, but his brothers, you know, his brother was telling him, who do you think you are? You think you can kill Goliath? Listen, David knows the authority that he has. Why are you allowing that uncircumcised come and make you scared and you ran and hide? The whole army of God, they're supposed to rise up and destroy Goliath. Why? But they are so afraid. They don't know the authority that God has. Listen, it's about time for you and I to know the authority that we have. Otherwise, we'll hide. And not taking care of the enemies, not destroying the enemies that are trying to come and destroy the church, destroy our family, destroy our city, even destroy our nation. I believe the church, it's about time to rise up and know who they are. That's why David came. My gosh, you guys have been hiding for how many days? Afraid of nothing. Goliath came up and spewing out his word that you believe it. You believe Goliath's word instead of believing God's word. And I believe God is looking for people right now that believe his word and know the authority that they have so they can destroy what the enemy is trying to do for our nation. Amen? So please, that's why I want to encourage you that this is not a time to be fearful. That's why I shared the story last night. I threw that COVID test away. Health official called me every day because because they didn't care about my negative test. They are so concerned, want to continue on that narrative. I confronted him, you know. Tell him, why you call me every day? Bug me every day. Why? Because I know the authority that I have. I'm not saying that I'm somebody now, but because of what God has given to the church, and it's about time for you and I to arise and shine, for the glory of God is streaming and flowing out of us. Not to be afraid of every little thing. Amen. Praise God. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am glad that Meliana shared that story, because she did not know what I'm going to preach on. I'm going to preach on spiritual warfare. I don't normally preach on this subject, but I felt led to preach on it. Simply said, I started to talk to Pastor Dennis about my message tonight, because how many have ever been in spiritual warfare? How many are in warfare right now? Everybody should be raising their hand, because if you're not in warfare, you're not alive. Now, come on. Every single one of us go through things that are spiritual battles. I can tell you this. When we left lunch today, I wanted to go take a nap. I didn't want to do a Zoom. I wanted to take a nap. But there's a spiritual side of it but I want to feed the people more than I want to take a nap. Come on. We battle this flesh. A few weeks ago, I have a close friend of mine who is almost finished with his PhD at ORU. I preach at his church every single year in Clarksville, Indiana. I love him a lot, but the reason I love him is that after service, we go in the green room and he dissects my message. And we argue the rest of the night. Come on. We argue theology. But in a very healthy way, because we love each other, we can argue and disagree. Are you hearing me? And a few weeks ago, we were sitting down with him, and we were talking, and I was talking about traveling, and we were talking about the casting out of demons. Everybody say the casting out of demons. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand where you are tonight. You are not in a Baptist church. You are not in a Methodist church. You are not in a Reformed church. You're in a Pentecostal church. You remember that? A Pentecostal church. And in a Pentecostal church, this is exactly what we believe. We believe in healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing lepers, and casting demons out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what we do. But I do want to tell you, so we're talking about casting in demons, and we were discussing, and this time we were in agreement, that it's interesting that in his experience and in my travels, I noticed something. That when I read the Gospels, something really stands out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is the fact that a third of Jesus' ministry was delivering people from demons. At least a third, if not more. Then we who are supposedly supposed to be ambassadors of Christ and disciples and followers of Christ, why aren't demons being cast out? Why aren't we seeing demons cast out at least once a month? Come on. Because if we subscribe by certain doctrinal truths that we believe in, why are we not seeing it? Because many people, and first of all, I'm going to make this clear. I mentioned it in the morning. I want to reinforce this again. Because I believe that there is a significant difference from being demon possessed and demon oppressed. Now, here's the thing that I want to be. If I'm demonically oppressed, I don't want to leave this house with my oppression. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If I'm suffering with depression, because let me just tell you, demons give you depression, not psychiatrists. You know what I'm saying? Not your circumstances. Demons want to make you sick. Demons want to destroy you. Demons want to control your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you can't medicate a demon. That's why I don't believe in psychosomatic drugs like Ritalin and other drugs like that to affect the mind. You cannot drug a demon. I never seen Jesus in the gospel say, here, take this pill and let us sedate you. Come on. But how many Christians subscribe to that type of thinking? And if you subscribe to that type of thinking, please don't be mad at me. I have the microphone. You don't. Come on. And so here's the thing. You have a right to disagree with me. But I will tell you this. I am tired of demons attacking people. I'm tired of going to churches that believe in healing and seeing half the church sick. Come on. I'm tired of seeing demons attack people's marriage. Demons attack people's finances. Demons attack the lives of men and women. I want to see demonic power broken by the power of Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen tonight? That leads me, ladies and gentlemen, to two specific stories in the book of Matthew that I want to deal with. The first one I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, because I want to get to the second one. But we're going to look at Matthew 17, and then we're going to turn the page backwards and look at Matthew 16, because Matthew 16 arguably is the greatest teaching in the New Testament about how Jesus tells us to deal with demonic power. But I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. And here's what it says. When they came to the multitude, a man came to him kneeling down to him saying, verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic. Everybody say this, he is an epileptic. Ladies and gentlemen, obviously, this particular father got a diagnosis, or let's say a prognosis, that the reason why your son is behaving the way that he's behaving is because he has epilepsy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, obviously, that particular father believed the report of the doctor, or whomever diagnosed or gave the prognosis to the boy about the boy's condition. He said, because he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So obviously, in the natural, what is happening is this boy is suffering this. I looked it up. This boy is actually suffering the symptoms of epilepsy. When I'm going to tell you and make certain things certain clear tonight, do I believe that every epileptic, every person with epilepsy has a demon? I would not go as far as saying this. What I say that there could be possibility that someone suffering from epilepsy has a demon, I would say absolutely yes. Come on. Because here's what we have here. We have the world's diagnosis, and this is what the father believes. And so what the father is telling Jesus is something very, very interesting tonight. So I brought to him to your disciples, but this hit me. Everybody say, I brought him to the disciples, but this hit me. But they could not cure him. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that word about not curing him, that troubles me. How would you feel if 100 people came in here to be healed and we didn't bring healing? What does that do to your spirit? That challenges me both theologically, and it challenges me into my commitment to Christ. It challenges me of my own deficiency. Are you hearing me? Because, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? There's a whole bunch of sickness out there. There's a lot of sick people. Come on. And sick people do, there are some sick people that want to be cured. Are you hearing me? And shouldn't this be a place where the sick are cured? Shouldn't this be a place where the oppressed are delivered? Come on. Shouldn't be this a place where the depressed are set free? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That should be the church's mission. If we get away from that mission, we become a club. We become just another. We become like the Kiwanis Club. No wonder the world doesn't want to listen to us. Come on. Because here they need something. I was sharing with my group today about Jonah. And I'm telling about Jonah because I just started an intense study on the book of Jonah this morning. And in the book of Jonah, it says that he's asleep when it's in the middle of a storm. Oh, come on. I don't want to be a sleeping prophet. I don't want to have a sleeping church. Why, I'm in the boat and everybody in the boat is freaking out about the storm that I caused. Oh, are you hearing me? Which tells me also that my obedience or my obedience has an effect on other people, despite myself, not only myself, but my disobedience also affects other people. Come on. And then he's asleep in the boat, at bottom of the ship. The captain comes and says, "How can you sleep with all this going on? How can you sleep when we have a father bringing the sick son that doesn't get a cure? How can we sleep when someone walks here and leaves the house in the same condition that they walked in? I can't live with that anymore. How can you sleep when we're losing our cargo, losing our joy, losing our lives, and we're struggling to try to get through this? How can you be asleep?" And Jonah, and they say, because they're polytheists, he says, "Pray to your gods. Pray to your gods." But see, he says, who's your God? Who are you? Where you come from? Who are you? And Jonah stands up and said, "I'm a prophet of God, and I serve the Lord God Almighty, the God of the wind seas." And all of a sudden, the whole place freaks out. You're the cause of this storm. In chapter 1, verse 11 of the book of Jonah, the captain of the ship does something that made me weep this morning. He said, "I want you to fix the storm." Let me just tell you right now, the church is called to fix the storm. When Meliana walks up and says, "We have authority," she's not saying it just to say it, that it sounds good. We are called to fix the storm. We've got to get a t-shirt, "Fix the Storm." Because there's a world crying out for somebody to fix the storm. People are crying out, "Fix the storm." This father is crying out, "Fix the storm." "I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him." So when I look at that, What begins to, it convicts me. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the revelation that I want you to see. Because I know the rest of the story. How many know that Jesus never dealt with his epilepsy? Do you know why? Because the boy didn't have epilepsy. So here they brought the boy to get healed, come on, from the disciples. And so the disciples were praying over him to get healed over epilepsy. You can't heal somebody of something they don't have. Oh, hear me. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing why we're not seeing miracles? Why we're not seeing signs and wonders? Why we're not seeing demons cast out? Because someone comes up here and they say, I got epilepsy. No, you don't. A demon is attacking your body. But you say that to some people, they get offended. Because they'll protect their demon, come on, rather than walk out with their demon instead of getting healed. Let me just tell you, I don't want to protect my demon. The president does a good job with that. Come on. I don't want to protect the demons. I want to cast the demons out. Can I hear an amen? Because what happened was they couldn't cast out something that the boy didn't have. That's why if there's something that we need, an impartation of discernment. An impartation of discernment. Jesus discerned that this boy doesn't have epilepsy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you understand the word in Matthew 17, Jesus doesn't demonize the boy. He doesn't destroy his identity or his indignity. He speaks to the demon. Come on. He speaks to the demon. One of my favorite authors, you should read everything he reads. His name is A.W. Tozer. He died in 1962 back then. He's a great author. His greatest book, Knowledge of the Holy and Pursuit of God, is a Christian classic. You should read him every single day. He's got a book called I Talk Back to the Devil. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's about time the church rides up and start talking back to the devil rather than the devil talk to them. Are you hearing me? But here's what happened. Well, the doctor said he's got ADHD. The doctor said they got this. Well, what if the spirit says there's a demon attacking that little boy and he needs to be delivered? Can I hear an amen? So, of course, Jesus then goes into a dissertation and he's going, oh, you faithless and perverse generation. You know, he begins to correct the disciples. And so, because the disciples ask him, hey, how come we couldn't cast this out? And then he says two words. This kind. Let me say this kind. That means there's kinds. There's certain kinds. How many know that we're dealing with a different kind now? As soon as March of COVID-19 hit this country, it's like a different kind of demon raised their head. A different kind that we never had to dealt with. Come on. That we never saw it before. I've never seen some of the things I've seen in my lifetime. I mean, who would ever thought that they'd allow a guy to compete with a woman in sports? Come on. I mean, that is not even common sense. Come on. Who would have think they'd even think that was okay when even our biology, our body makeup, that doesn't even compute even scientifically. Are you hearing me? You know why? Because we're dealing with the demon. Come on. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with this kind. And there's got to be somebody that understands that we're dealing with a different kind. And I'm not putting up with this kind. I'm not letting this kind come into my family. I'm not letting this kind take over my nation. I'm not letting this kind take over my life. Are you hearing me? This kind. You know, there's sometimes I'm minding my own business. I'm in a meeting. I was in a meeting in Hawaii a couple of years ago. I'm in a leadership meeting. Teaching on hearing the voice of God in a leadership meeting, I walk up to a woman and start to prophesy over, and a demon manifests in the woman. You think at the leadership meeting, that church would have got rid of the demon by now. She's a leader. You know, demons lead too. You know what? Demons are in churches too, by the way. Demons were behind pulpits too. Are you hearing me? And she manifests, and she's wailing, and I'm trying to prophesy, and she's interrupting. I look at Meliana, and Meliana makes a beeline over her, walks up to her, kneels down, looks the woman in the face, and says, "Knock it off. You ain't gonna act like this." The woman, stops it. She prays over. She gets completely delivered. The next day, she comes back to church, and she comes up and hugs me, and her whole countenance is changed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I remember one time I'm up on it. It's got a platform like this. I'm holding revival at this church, and I call this guy out by name, Rusty. I said, "Rusty," he stands up. Rusty comes up, and Rusty looks rusty. Come on. You can tell Rusty's been through some stuff, you know. And so Rusty's standing there. He's got a pair of shorts. He's got a T-shirt on, a pair of slippers on, and I said, lift your hands, Rusty. I pray for him, and he goes down under the power. He's laying there, and then I'm moving on, and one of the associates comes up to me and says, "Brother Harkey, Rusty's gonna barf." That's what he says. Rusty's going to barf. So this is exactly what went through my mind. This is the first night of revival. I'm going to be standing on the stage, and I'm not going to be standing in barf the rest of the week. That's what went through my mind. So I turned to the associate pastor, and I said, "Bind the barf! Tell the devil to come out another way. Come on. Come out his ears, come out his nose, but don't come out that way. Come on." And Rusty's, I look over at Rusty, and Rusty's mouth is foaming and everything like that. And then here comes one of the young people with a trash can. I mean, it's going to get messy. I walk over to Rusty, and I tell Rusty, "Rusty, you're getting delivered tonight, but you're not getting delivered. The devil, you're not barfing on my platform." Are you hearing what I'm saying? You either have authority or you don't. Come on. Are you what I'm saying? You either have authority or you don't. Now, church, I don't know about you, but I don't. I just want the devil to come out, but it's not coming out that way. And I'm going to tell the devil how he's going to come out. And not out of your other part of your body, just come out of your ears, Rusty. Come on. So I prayed, "Oh God, deliver Rusty right now." And all of a sudden, boom, Rusty gets delivered, and he didn't barf at all. I won't tell you what he did because I'm not allowed to repeat it over the microphone. But I will tell you it came out. This kind, ladies and gentlemen. Because here's what we do. This is the truth. Do you know we have a government that negotiates with demons? Because they honestly believe. I'm telling you, there are psychiatrists alive today that believe that terrorism is a mental illness. It's a mental illness. And if you just get the right treatment, you won't want to blow up people and kill innocent people. No, you're demon-possessed, bro. You're a demon. And ladies and gentlemen, the problem is they're teaching this in school. The other day, my granddaughter, who's 13, my oldest, she was with us. For longer than we thought, and so she stayed with us another week or so, and so I got a new iPad out of the deal. Come on, and so because she had to use the old iPad wouldn't go on her program for her school, so she's doing school over the Zoom, and this teacher who couldn't preach out of a paper bag. is talking, her social studies teacher. She's sitting there, and I'm listening to the teacher talk to my granddaughter in the class, and all of a sudden, she starts bad-mouthing the church. And they're 12 and 13 years old. And if I'm 12 and 13 years old, sitting in that classroom, I would not want to walk into the door of the church ever again. I had to use all my self-control to say, Kayala, that's her name, my granddaughter, excuse me, I don't want to address this teacher and cast the devil out of the teacher right on the Zoom. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You foul demon spirit, and tell all the kids what she's saying is a lie. She's telling you a part truth, but she's adding her own views into this truth that she's telling you. And when she's twisting the story to make it sound worse than it is in order to paint a narrative that you will never want to go into the house of God, right in a public school in Nashville, Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, church, I've had enough. This kind. Everybody say this kind. Now, when he says this kind comes out. Everybody comes out. Not stays in, comes out. That means you have authority over any kind. That it doesn't matter what kind it is. Come on. It doesn't matter if it's a lying spirit, a sick spirit, a depressed spirit, whatever kind of spirit it is, you have authority to cast it out. This kind only comes out through what? Fasting and prayer. Church, I want to tell you something. Fasting and prayer works. And I'm so thankful because last weekend we were in the middle of a 7-day fast and God heals Wanda out of the wheelchair because the devil crippled her. But God says, I'm not crippling her. She's going to get completely delivered. Can I hear an amen right now? But I said all that to say this. Now turn with me, and we'll be spending the rest of the night on Matthew 16, verse 13. Because ladies and gentlemen, when you're dealing with spiritual warfare, there's something that you need to understand, and Miliana said it so clearly. You need to know who you are. You need to have a secure identity in who God is in you. Because if you don't know who you are and you try to cast devils out, come on, the devil may jump on you. Let me just tell you, Meliana and I have never been in deliverance class. We've read the Gospels. There's a lot of books on deliverance, and there's some great books on deliverance, but the greatest teaching about deliverance is in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read those. Because every one of those gospels shows the power of God demonstrated in breaking demonic power. But I'm going to tell you right now, this particular dissertation by Jesus, starting in Matthew 16, 13, is arguably the clearest way of us having spiritual victory over demonic power. How many want victory over demonic power? Now, notice this, and many of you know this, but I want to break some of these verses down. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? That's an interesting question. Why would Jesus care about who people say he is? Now, here's the thing. The disciples then answer, because throughout human history, people are going to misinterpret who Jesus is. From now until Jesus completely is in government, when he is ruling the earth, that's when people are going to know who Jesus is. But until every knee bows and every tongue confesses Jesus is Lord, that has not yet happened yet, but it will. Until that happens, ladies and gentlemen, People will misinterpret who Jesus is, what he does, in order to fit their lifestyle and to fit their perspectives. Because the disciples said, well, some say he's John the Baptist. Well, who was the some said that he was John the Baptist? Well, Herod, because when he beheaded John the Baptist and heard about the miracles of Jesus, he thought it was John the Baptist come back to life. Arguably, he was wrong. People will misinterpret who God is. That's why we have so many denominations, because people misinterpret who Jesus is. And ladies and gentlemen, that's an important understanding that we have. But the second question, arguably to me, is the most important question of all. It's not who the government says he is. It's not who the world says he is. But who do you say that I am? Who do I say that? Who do I think Jesus is who call myself a disciple of the Lord? Is he my healer? Is he my deliverer? Is he my savior? Is he my all in all? Or is he just someone to help me in my need when I'm in trouble? Oh, come on. Who do you say that I am? Because if you're going to win the battle in spiritual warfare, in the unseen realm, in the demonic realm, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to know who he is. You're going to have to know who he is, not because you read a book, not because you went to a Bible study, not because the preacher told you, but because you know, but on a shadow of a doubt, who the Son of God is. Come on. And because if we don't know, because we got a lot of people sitting in the church that don't know who Jesus is. They confess his name. They'll sing his name. They'll sing the songs with Sean. They'll sing those beautiful songs. But they don't know who Jesus is. Come on. But what I love, Meliana, is Peter stands up and he's in front and says, you answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus goes into the teaching, which I'm going to break down, and says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. Everybody say flesh and blood. Turn to your neighbor, say flesh and blood. Do you know that flesh and blood could build the church, build a building? Flesh and blood can do a lot of things. Flesh and blood can make a stage. Flesh and blood can track people. But flesh and blood can't heal the sick or cast demons out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Flesh and blood can do a lot of things. Flesh and blood might be able to run a country. But flesh and blood can't deliver a nation. Come on. I love what David said. Flesh and blood could not kill Goliath. Come on. They had a mighty army. Israel had a mighty army. And the army is hiding, just like our. Come on. We got the mightiest army in the nation, but we're tied up because we got a leader who's afraid. Come on. Are you hearing me? And here's what happens, ladies and gentlemen. Because you can't fight the devil, you can't fight your giants with flesh and blood. And here comes David marching on the battlefield carrying bread and cheese. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, because you know what? Here's what he's doing. He's feeding an army who has been weakened by the words of Goliath. Oh, Jesus. Oh, come on, church. Because the army has been eaten from the diet of Goliath. No wonder our country is in the state of their end, because they're eating from the words of Goliath rather than the words of God. And here comes the young prince and warrior, prophet David, delivering bread and cheese. Why? I got to feed the army. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know why the army of God is in the state that they're in? Because the army of God hasn't been eaten right. He came to give them bread and cheese. And when he gets to the battle, he realizes it's not about bread and cheese. Because the most anointed, powerful, blessed army don't know their spiritual authority. Because they're trying to fight the giant with flesh and blood. Flesh and blood will only cause you to get more intimidated by the giant. And in their flesh and in their blood, the most powerful anointed army that has the endorsement of God is hiding in a cave, hiding in a hole, actually, it says. And then Goliath comes out, comes on the channel 6 News in the morning, then comes up on 6 o'clock, but now it's 24/7. Because they have fed the giant, he comes out 24/7, 7 days a week. When I was growing up, it was twice a day. Now it's 24/7. You need to turn it off or put the TV in the dumpster. You don't need to know certain stuff. If you feed on that stuff long enough, you'll believe it. I got to go to Hawaii because most of the people in Hawaii believe what the governor says and what the news says. They walk around like something's going to attack them when nothing is chasing them. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the Bible says the wicked flee when no one is chasing them, but the righteous are as bold as the lion. Oh, Brother Harkey, but you're being a little bit prideful here. Don't you know the condition? Wait a minute. You're misinterpreting this. It's not about pride. It's about identity. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Come on, you hear me. The Lord sets a table in the presence of my enemies. The Bible tells me to lay my hands on the sick, not put a thermometer on their head. The Bible tells me that nothing shall harm you on your right or on your left. That's why I'm not afraid of that crazy expensive Q-tip going up my nose almost every week. I'm not afraid of that. You know why? Because I know that God is with me. My rod and my staff. Come on, I guide you. I prayed already, oh God, don't let it become positive, and I haven't had a positive yet, and I won't have a positive. You know why? Because the only positive I have is connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who's my battery. I don't get my charge from the information. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what David did is David realized something. I'm not here just to feed an army who's starving. I'm here to destroy a giant. Are you hearing me? And you know what? I can't destroy it by flesh and blood. No matter, because I'm young, I'm inexperienced. Come on. I'm a 16-year-old kid, but I know who I am. I know people 60 who don't know who they are. And I do know people 16 that know who they are too. And vice versa. I know who I am. And when he heard Goliath, he didn't hide in a hole. He walked right up to him and said, "You come in the name of your God, but I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel." Come on. Because I know that I can't destroy you, but the God in me, come on, who is for me, who never leaves me, nor forsakes me, is going to destroy you today, and I'm going to eat your lunch today. See, the problem is the devil's been eating our lunch too long. He's been eating the church's lunch too long. And we got to understand, we got to reverse it. I'm eating your, in fact, you know what I'm doing? I'm stealing your lunch, devil. I'm taking your lunch. I'm eating what you thought you was going to eat for yourself. I'm going to eat you for lunch. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Heavenly Father. In other words, Peter, you didn't get this because you went to seminary. Because seminary is a good place, but seminary can't give you a revelation of your calling. The seminary might preach Jesus out of you. Some of the kids that I've met the seminary up down the street here, been in the seminary, I met them. I had to sit down and deliver them because they had some demons inside of them. Come on, some demon theology. Come on. Are you hearing me? That said, that where did you get this? Oh, I went to school. I went to Bible college. What kind of Bible are they reading to you? It's called critical thinking. They're trying to get us to think critically. I don't want to I don't want critical thinking. I want the mind of Christ. Because if I got critical thinking, I'll question everything God said. But if I got the mind of Christ, I'll believe everything God said, every one of his promises, and I'll receive it for myself. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Then he begins to, oh, I love this part. Then he begins to say this. He says, for I tell you, now he changes his name. I tell you that you are Peter. Everybody say, Peter. Now, we all know this, that we people have preached it, that Peter means the name rock. I get that. But actually, Peter means pebble. Pebble Creek. And it's interesting that he changes his name. He called him Simon Barjona, but now he calls him Peter. And then he says, on this rock. Everybody say, on this rock. There are groups that actually build their ministry and think that Peter's the rock. Peter's not the rock. I'm not the rock. Pastor JC's not the rock. I like Dennis's critical thinking, come on. But he's not the rock, come on. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if I build myself upon Peter, I'm in trouble. If we build ourselves upon a people that we look up to, we're in trouble because they're human. And that's why, guess what? Peter's not the rock. Jesus is the rock. Now, notice what he says, because the wording is very key. It's one of my favorite verses in the book of Matthew. He says, on this rock. Everybody say, on this rock. What does he mean? On the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. Come on. On the truth that he's the King of Kings and he's the coming King. Come on. The reigning King and the creator of the universe and the lover of men and women. On the truth of who Jesus is. On this truth. On this revelation. That's what it means. He says, on this rock I will build. Everybody say, I will build. Not I will close. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not I will build what? My church. Everybody say, build my church. How many know that Jesus is on a mission to build his church? That's why you can't hate the church. You cannot say you love Jesus and hate the church, because Jesus is building the church. Because that means if you hate the church, you're against what Jesus is building. He says, I will build my church. Everybody say, I will build my church. Because it isn't the pastor that's going to build the church. It isn't the denomination that's going to build the church. It isn't the fact that AG is 100 years old that's going to build the church. It's Jesus that builds the church. And let me just tell you something. If a church closes down because of a virus or because of a condition, then that tells me that Jesus must have not built that church. Because Jesus is not going to close something he built. He's going to complete what he built. Are you hearing me? Until it's completely finished. Are you hearing me? Because he's the master carpenter. He's the master construction worker. He's the master developer. Are you hearing me? And I will build my church, and what? And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Everybody say, the gates of hell shall not prevail. What does he mean by that, ladies and gentlemen? How many know hell's trying to break into the church? Hell's trying to break into the church. Break into my life. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. How many know hell's trying to break in? This is why I don't understand why people don't believe in the demonic. Because hell's trying to break in and destroy what Jesus built. That's hell's mission. Are you hearing me? But my Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That means if hell is prevailing, then Jesus must not be there. if hell is prevailing inside my spirit, come on, then guess what? Jesus must not be in there. But if hell tries to come in, but I'm pushing back hell and not letting hell camp out in my church, then guess what? Jesus is in my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But listen to this. So how in the world are we going to keep hell out of the church? How are we going to keep hell out of us? You can't do it with flesh and blood. I tried it. It doesn't work. I do it with what he's given me. He says, I will give you keys. Everybody say keys. Turn to your neighbor and say keys. And I got a rental car outside there in the parking lot. I picked it up at the airport. You know, if that rental car, that gal at the rental car company, didn't give me the keys, I'd have had to call JC to pick me up. Why do you think we can't get where God wants us to go? Because we're not taking the keys he's given us. If God wants to give me something, then that means that I need it. That's why when I was attending our church in Hawaii, it was many, many years. Now I go and speak every year, twice a year. But you know what I did? I was so hungry for God, I would respond to every single altar call. They would give altar calls. Would all the women that come up that want to be pregnant come up? I'd run up. Come on. You know why I ran up? Because I want God to fill me with the seed of his word and impregnate me with a promise. Oh, come on, church. I want to get pregnant. Come on. Because I want every key I can get my hands on. Are you hearing me? Because I got a lot of devils I got to deal with. Come on. Because he says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Everybody say keys to the kingdom. How many know that keys lock doors and key opens up doors? And without keys, doors can't open for you. And there are certain keys that you need to lock the door so hell doesn't come in. He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And then it says, whatever. Everybody say whatever. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. See, you may not like Kenneth Copeland. You may not agree with everything he says. And my kids last year showed me a video, and they made a rap of him binding COVID-19. I actually listen to that often. Because you know why? Because whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Come on. Because a lot of times we just accept things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And don't say them. We'll just let things happen and see what's going to happen instead of using our mouth. Now, I can tell you this. I've been married 37 years. And in 37 years of marriage, there has been times when there has been moments when I've had to bind some things in the marriage. And so, for instance, she's on one side in the sink, and I'm on the other sink. We're brushing the teeth, and something is said that I don't like, okay? And rather than reacting negatively, I say, I bind that spirit of complaining. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then so she turns and says, I bind that spirit of anger. Come on. So here's what's happening. Rather than fueling the problem, what we're doing is we're binding demonic power, because it's not just bigger demons. There's demons that are trying to destroy your relationships. But if we don't bind demonic power, then we got demons flying around our house. Come on. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Now, and then it says, whatever you loose. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed into heaven. And then it says, you know what? You, whatever you open your mouth, that's why I believe with proclamation and decree, there is power in your words. I'm going to cast that demon out. You foul demon of COVID-19. It's a demon. It's not a virus. It's a demon. Demons kill people. Demons infect people's lungs. Because you know what? In Hawaii, there's no more flu. Everything's COVID. Flu just disappeared, I guess, off the face of the earth. I bind every spirit of deception. Loose the truth. Now hear this. So he tells me to bind and loose. And then, he goes into a dissertation, because I've got to start wrapping this up, of who he is. I want you to look at verse 21, because I'm going to start landing this plane. Verse 21 of Matthew 16. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priest, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Ladies and gentlemen, how many know that at that moment, what Jesus is doing is Jesus is prophesying his mission? Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to be persecuted, he's going to suffer, he's going to go to a cross, he's going to be resurrected. Come on. He tells us his primary mission. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to tell you now is something that's very interesting. Because what is said in the next verse, to me, is arguably one of the most, the next two verses are arguably some of the most shocking verses I've ever heard. So, Meliana, could you stand up? Could you stand right here? Actually, could you come up here for me, sweetie? So here Jesus is telling the disciples his calling, his mission. And all of a sudden, Peter, who the same Peter, ladies and gentlemen, who said, "You're the Son of God, the Messiah," the same man that uttered those words by revelation from the Father. That same man, Peter, took him aside. Jesus, come over here. And it says, rebukes him. Now, church, honestly, I give you permission to rebuke me. But don't rebuke Jesus. What would give you the audacity to think you can rebuke God? Come on. That you rebuke God. I mean, what in the world is going through your mind, Peter, that gives you, that you think you know better than God? Now, church, there's a lot of people that wouldn't articulate it that way, but that's the way they live. Because I don't necessarily have to rebuke Jesus with my words. I can rebuke Jesus with my lifestyle. Oh, come on. Because to rebuke Jesus with my lifestyle is to call myself a disciple of Jesus but not do what he said. I'm living in a double life. I'm a transgender. Come on, that exactly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, at that moment, when he rebukes him, listen to what he says, because I want you to hear what I have to tell you. He says, "Never, Lord." He said, "This shall never happen to you." You're not going to the cross. You're not being persecuted. You're not going to suffer. In other words, Jesus, I'm not going to let you what the Father called you to do. Why would he say something like that? You know why, ladies and gentlemen? Because what I want to tell you, if I've said anything this weekend, I don't want you to forget what I'm going to tell you right now. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world that's doing the same thing. They tell us, but they don't want the American people to suffer. They tell us, we don't want you to be persecuted. You don't want to suffer. And we don't want you doing what you're called to do. In the name of being humanitarian. Because it sounds so humanitarian. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the devil disguises himself as a humanitarian. And people buy into that lie because it stands so nice. Ladies and gentlemen, I called the governor's office in Hawaii. And I simply said this to the lady that answered the phone. I was not in an angry tone. I was in a tone, a normal conversation. I said point blank, the governor gets on and goes on twice a day or however times a week and says he loves the community. She said, absolutely, he loves the community. I said, is that true? I said, okay, I love the community too, and I'm a minister of the gospel. And I said, as the minister of the gospel, because you say you love the community, but as a minister of the gospel, because of your stipulations, I cannot walk into a hospital and pray for the sick. And because of your laws, I cannot go into a prison and minister to a prisoner. Because of your laws, I cannot go into a rest home and pray for a woman or a man that is lonely, whose family doesn't even see them. And also, I cannot go to a school because a kid is so confused because what's happening into his family, he can't even articulate, and he has behavior problems. I can't walk in that school and give him godly counsel. And you tell me you love the community. No, you love your ideology. And you come out, and what you do is you actually are used by the devil, because what you're doing is disguising your intentions with humanitarian aid. Come on, are you hearing me, church? Because this is something that you have to discern. Because even Peter got sucked into it. Jesus, I don't want you to suffer. Jesus, I don't want you to die. Jesus, I don't want you to go to the cross. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because Christianity without the cross is not Christianity. And we are in a nation, we got to be very, very careful, ladies and gentlemen. That the biggest threat to Christianity is Christianity without denying yourself and taking up your cross and following God. That's real Christianity. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if all we have is pseudo-Christianity, listen to me. I am not against feeding the poor. I am not, but let me just tell you, the devil is a humanitarian. But he's such a humanitarian that he sucks people in to believe his lie and then kills them. I wrote a letter to the president because someone sent me a video of the president of the United States pulling out a card saying that there are 500,000 something something people died of COVID-19 at that time. And let me just tell you, I am not non-compassionate or empathetic for those people. That every one of those people have a mother, father, siblings. They have a life. And they have, or children. I know 10 people personally that have died from this hideous virus. Supposedly. That's what they were on their death certificate. Whether they died or not, they won't let me investigate. In fact, I know one lady that it's just a long story. And I have to tell you, that breaks my heart. But I wrote a letter to the president, and the letter was, "Dear Mr. President, I appreciate your compassion and your empathy for the 500 and some odd thousand people, Americans, who have died from this hideous virus. But what about the 50 million babies that have been aborted since 1973? Church, the devil disguises himself as a humanitarian. And if we don't have discernment at this particular time, we will think, oh, that's so nice what they're doing. In other words, that's so nice what you're doing. Church, let me just tell you, you walk into the airport in Portland and you hear the video, you hear the messenger, "We're here to protect your health. Wash your hands. Stay social. Wear your mask. Keep 6 feet away." But you know what? You drive down downtown to Portland. You don't want to go there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is the most demonic place. Portland just 5 years ago was a beautiful city where you could walk out and sit and have a cup of coffee. You do not want to go downtown in Portland, Oregon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you tell me you're after my health? Come on. You get on the voice. Give me a break, brother. If you was after my health, you'd go down there and clean that town up. Are you hearing me? And not let people destroy buildings and property. Not people begin to break in and antagonize people and graffiti everything and tear statues down. What is that going to do? And destroy the fabric of what people have built. And you tell you love the community, give me a break. You sound so humanitarian. No, the devil's a humanitarian. But let me just tell you right now, because even Sennacherib, it's a story in the book of Isaiah, and the general comes out and says, "Hey, surrender Israel. You know what? Move into Assyria. You'll get your horses. You'll get land. You'll get all this thing." And you know what? And praise God, there was a prophet, and praise God, there was a king like Hezekiah, come on, that didn't listen to the humanitarian offer of a wicked general and stood up and said, "God, you got to fight our battles. I can't fight this army." Sound so humanitarian. Don't go to the cross, Jesus. But this will be the last verse. Meliana, could I use you again? I won't make you walk up here. I'd use Pastor Karen, but she might get mad at me. The next verse. So Peter has just rebuked Jesus. She's more like Jesus. I'm more like Peter, okay? But this is just for an example. Peter rebukes Jesus. The Bible says Jesus turned. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the last thing that I want to have happen is to have Jesus turn his back on me. Has Jesus turned his back on America? I don't believe so. Because there's still a group of people. There's 50, 60 people here tonight. Come on, Jesus has not turned his back on you, on America yet. Because but they're still righteous in the house. Come on. But he turned his back on Peter and started walking away and said, "Get behind me, Satan." To Peter, to the very man that said, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He says, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, church, this is why people need to get their doctrine and theology right. The reason that there are demons in America is the church doesn't cast them out. The church feeds them. Get behind me, Satan. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe for one moment that Peter was demon-possessed. But I do believe that out of the same mouth where he said, you're the Christ, the same mouth was used of the devil. Oh, come on. Because listen to what the scripture, the text says. What is amazing. He says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Now, please. How many know that J.C. Cook is the pastor of this church? I'm not and you're not. He's the pastor. Right? So guess what? There's something, you know, when I got saved, something, God did something to me. That means that Peter, his words, his rebuke, his attitude, what he said to Jesus was a stumbling block to Jesus' vision. I don't want to be a stumbling block to this man's vision. I don't want to be a stumbling block to my pastor in Maui's vision. Come on. That he now has to deal with me because I'm acting foolish. Come on. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm a stumbling block, then what has happened, I now have to direct my attention to what you are saying to try to protect the congregation and deal with you rather than do what God has called me to do. You are a stumbling block to me. Church, you know what? If you're a board member in the church, don't be a stumbling block to the vision. Don't be a stumbling block to what God wants to do. It's okay to disagree, but don't be a stumbling block. Because what a stumbling block is, you can completely go the opposite direction of the vision that God has. Come on. We're not doing that, and you're a stumbling block. And the reason why churches don't thrive is this, what? The people that are called to walk alongside you are stumbling blocks. Church, I believe that our ministry will succeed in Tucson because we're not going to allow stumbling blocks to have a foothold in ministry. We're not going to do that because we don't have time for stumbling blocks. I don't have time to pet your peeve. I don't have time to agree with your weird theology. I got too many things to do. I got to heal the sick. I got to raise the dead. I got to cast devils out. I got to preach the gospel, get people saved. I don't have time to deal with stumbling blocks. You're a stumbling block. I don't want to be a stumbling block to my wife. I want to be a stumbling block to you. What would happen, honestly? What would happen if we, honestly, what would happen? What would happen if we got done with church tonight? Because you know where we went to lunch? I wanted Jack Shack, but they choose me Johnny's Tavern, these backslidden Christians. These. No, it was good. I had a great hamburger. But what if I went to Johnny's Tavern and ordered a beer? And here I was, prophesying over people. Guess what would happen? See, whether you agree with drinking or not, that's not the issue. The issue is I'm a stumbling block to somebody. And that's why I don't drink, because I do not want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be a stumbling block to people, because if I'm a stumbling block to people, guess what? They lose their vision. You're a stumbling block to me. Which means your attitude is making God stumble. I got to go to the cross. I got enough. I got the weight of humanity's sins on me, and you're telling me not to go. Now listen to this. He says, this is where I got the humanitarian. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Which tells me, what was the human concern. Because here's what you're concerned about. If I go to the cross, what does that make you? Because you're my disciple. What does that make you in your position? Come on. You're concerned about title and position and rule and reign and authority and all these things, but you're not concerned about what I'm concerned about. Oh, you're concerned about you and how it affects you. You're not concerned about how it affects me. Come on. How it affects people. Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you're concerned. And let me just tell you, we got people in position of authority who is not concerned about God. They're merely human concerns. Let me tell you, why would you listen to somebody whose only concern is humans? Human concerns. Because human concerns is only concern and how they're perceived, how they're looked at, how that happens. So they'll tell you all things because of what they're concerned about. How about what God is concerned about? Are you hearing me? You know what God is concerned about? Loosening people, delivering fathers, bringing a cure to a generation. Can I hear an amen right now? Lift your hands to Jesus all over the house. Father, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light upon our path. I thank you for the authority of your word being released in this house. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are giving authority to the people sitting in this house, regardless of how young, how old, where their background is, because they're going to walk in power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. I'd like Sean and Becky to stand up, please. I'd like Sean and Becky to stand up right and go into the center aisle. How many appreciate their ministry? Becky, put your hand on your husband's heart. Sean, there has been such a passion that God has done in you in this last 2 years, where there's been exponential growth in the spirit realm. And I just want to tell you something right now, because it would be easy for me to prophesy about your talent on the platform, because that's what I see with my natural eyes. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to prophesy about the words that are upon your mouth. Because what God is going to do in these coming months and years with you is that when people come with a problem, when they come with an issue, what God is going to do is give you the antidote and the cure. When someone comes with illness or sickness or disease or even depression or mission or hurt or even things going in their life that is actually controlling behaviors, Sean Fite is going to have the cure, because I am giving you a sensitivity and an anointing to go down into the root system and pull it up out of the roots and replant them in righteousness, says the Lord. There is going to be an exponential manifestation of demonic power that's going to be cast out, and you're going to witness it in the house of the Lord. Because what God is doing is God is taking the pebble at Pebble Creek and knocking down the Goliath that is attacking the people of God. People are not going to be protecting their demons, because the presence of God is going to become so thick that they won't be able to protect them anymore, and they will become vulnerable, and they will actually come up and say, I want to be free. And you will actually put down your guitar and you will step off the platform and speak one word: get up, be healed. And I will do it very quickly. The Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Lord says that, Becky, I want you to hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said, this is going to be seasons in your life where you're going to be investing in kids. And not just your own kids, but other people's kids. It's like you're going to pour the life of God inside of them. You're going to be like David, who brought the bread and the cheese. However, these kids are coming to your house. Not just your own kids, but extended families, nieces and nephews, and all kinds of children coming into your house, because you're the type of person that will help them with their life controlling issues and get them back on their feet. Because what you are, Becky, and you always have been, is you have been my deliverer. You have delivered on your word, and you have delivered with your actions. And even times when you were weakened, just weakened because of all that's on your plate, you still fulfilled every one of your obligations. And I'm going to tell you, your oldest daughter will be just like you. She will come alongside you. She will have a burden, and she will treat people the same way you treated them, says the Lord. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now. We bless this wonderful couple in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. 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 How many want to bind demonic power and loose the power of the Spirit? Come on. How many want to bind demonic power? Young man, you've been faithful. Actually, before you, I'll get our sister from Spain. Yeah, you. Lydia? Lydia, does anybody here speak Spanish fluently? Can anybody interpret for me? Can you interpret for me, bro? No? Nope. No, how about the brother behind you? He's got brown. He's darker than I am. He's almost as dark as my son, but not quite. Huh? If I talk slowly and not talk in parables. That's going to be difficult. That's going to be like talking, prophesying over when I went to Japan. And when Japan, I had to talk really slow. Okay. Stretch forth your hands to Lydia. Lydia, lift your hands like you're under arrest. Because you are, and the Holy Ghost. Meliana, come up and pray for this precious young lady. Lydia, I believe the Lord is saying this to you specifically. You're not here in Kansas City with this wonderful family just to live in America. You're here because you are going to meet God in a way you've never met him before. Because one day you'll have to get on a plane and go back to Spain. But you will not go back the same way you came. You'll still be you in yourself, in your joyous self. But you will go back with a burden for your nation to know who God is and wanting to do something about it. Because they have churches in Spain, but Jesus is not there. But you're going to bring Jesus with you back into the church. Because whether you see it or not, you are a reformer. you've been brought to America to give you a perspective of what God has called you to do to help Jesus build his church in Spain. Because Jesus wants to build his church in Spain. Now, our church in Hawaii, they've got churches in Spain. I haven't been there. But I'll see that pastor. I'll tell him about you. But I want to tell you this. Whether you see it or not, you're a conqueror. You're very, very bold and very courageous on the inside. Because you'd be bold to come to a church like this. Come on. You didn't know what you signed up for. And then you're here sitting in these meetings with somebody with a wife and a husband that's really out there. But I'm going to tell you something. In the next 3 months, the Lord is going to come and visit you. Like he visited Mary, like he visited others. And speak to you right to your heart. Because you have such a heart for people, Lydia. And you want to see people set free. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. Touch her right now. In Jesus' name, never to be the same again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give God a shout of praise right now. Give God a shout of praise right now. That young man, come up here. Now, do I have to speak slowly to you too? I told Lydia I was going to teach her hillbilly before I left. She used to teach me Spanish, and so I can, then I'll teach you hillbilly. Lift your hands to this handsome young man. The Spirit of the Lord says, you're going to be a business owner. Because there's something about you, and I want to make it clear. You want to be independent. You don't want to have to rely on other people. But not so independent that you aren't independent from God. Not so autonomous that you don't need God, but you want to start up your own business. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, in the next several years, what's going to happen is I'm going to give you the money to build your dreams. Someone is going to invest in your dream. Because your dream did not originate with you. It came from God. Because what you're going to do is you're going to hire people in your business and you're going to teach them many, many things. In fact, you are actually going to be a business owner here in the city of Kansas City. Because what God is doing, he's actually giving you strategy and wants you to study business models that work. And the best model that worked is the book of Proverbs. You'll learn more reading those 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs than you will getting your college education. But you must get your college education because it will bring credibility in front of others who do not read the scriptures. But people will ask you because there's going to be supernatural increase and acceleration happening to you. Simply because when you were little, there was a moment when physically you went through some suffering. Physically, you had some challenges, but you overcame those challenges and actually overcame them. And now God has made you strong. And you are my David, even at this hour. And you will restore the army, and you will destroy and annihilate the giants, even financial giants, that people who are filled with greed and a lack of integrity. You will destroy a giant of greed. And how you will do that is you will expose greed for what it is. Because what I have done with you is that I have shown you that the way of greed is the way of death. But the way of generosity is the way of life. And the Lord says, because you have seen people grab and grab, as if, because really, even though they were wealthy, they actually had a poverty spirit upon them, because they were hoarding and grabbing on because they thought there wasn't enough. But you're going to discover, even as a young age of Jehovah Jireh, you're going to hear God put a ram in your thicket, because there's going to come a time when you're going to need to get an education and then come back to the city and begin to sow into the city. Because what you're going to be is you're going to be a man that gives back to the community and makes the community a better place to live, says the Lord. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, never to be the same again. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. 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 You know, ladies and gentlemen, how many want to see God deliver people from the demonic? Come on. Meliana and I have witnessed these kinds of manifestations all over the country, and I will tell you this, but I don't want it just to be isolated to the guest speaker. Or are you hearing what I'm saying? I want there to be power demonstrations through every believer. Come on. Every believer was designed to do the greater works of Christ. Every single believer. Not just somebody specially anointed. Come on. But every single believer. And it's about time we walk in our inheritance. Because here's what I want you to do tonight. We're going to give tonight. And what you're giving to is you're giving to Passion Ministries. I know that JC and the church will write one check at the end of these meetings and put it all together. And because you're not sowing just into John and Meliana, you're sowing into your own life. Because how many want greater authority? Come on. Greater authority on your life. Greater authority over the demonic. Come on. You know, Meliana will walk up and say, you know, she'll tell you, I never went to a deliverance class. I never went to, I just spoke the name of God. Come on. Because demons are like dogs. They know that you're afraid. You know what? They know when you're afraid. And I remember one time that we went over to these people's house, and they had this demonic, huge German shepherd. And Meliana walked in and said, I'm not going to be scared of that dog. I was frightened for the dog, and the dog attacked me but didn't touch her. Are you hearing me? You know why? Because she determined in her life, I'm going to walk into my authority. This dog is going to know who's in charge. See, the devil needs to know that you're in charge, not he's in charge. Are you hearing me? Because the devil's after us. He's after us. He's so after me. Literally a week ago, I could not put on my short sleeve because my skin was filled with all kinds of lumps and bites. And a week later, it's fine. How does that happen? Fasting and prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because ladies and gentlemen, the enemy is after us. But I'm not going to let the devil win. And people are asking me, how come you're wearing a long sleeve shirt in Kentucky outside? Come on. Every meeting, you know, tent meeting. Why? Because I have been bit so many times. But I am not going to let that bugs or the devil hinder me from doing what God has called me to do. Are you hearing me? That's why we got to sow. That's why we sow. Because sometimes I got to sow. Oh God, give me authority. I got to sow for my health. You know, I think I've never said this to me, but I'm going to say it. You can do what you want, and please, I'm not going to tell you to do this. This is my own personal conviction. My wife and I can afford, we can, C-A-N, afford medical insurance. We can afford it. But we don't have it. Because the Bible says, when you tithe, pay your tithe and give your offering, God will rebuke the devourer. Now, I'm not telling you to do what we did. Please don't do what I did. This is my own personal conviction. This is not a thus saith the Lord. This is a thus saith John. But I believe what the word said. And I will tell you something. We've been on the road. Now, when I was working at the Carpenters Union, we had great insurance. My kids cost me $2. I said, honey, why didn't we have more kids? It only cost $2. $2 a kid. Come on. I got the bill. It was $2. $1 a kid. We could add 10 kids for $10. Come on. Can't do that now. Come on. But for 25 years, Meliana and I have not had insurance. Medical insurance. Now I got auto insurance because I got to have that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, and you know what? I've never had to go to the hospital. I've never had to hardly go to the doctor, but a couple of times. I've never been sick in 25 years. You know why? Because Meliana writes a check, this is for my health. I would rather give the church my health insurance check than the medical people. And you know what? Even when they had Obamacare, I still didn't get it, and they took it out. We paid it. But they stopped that because Obama didn't care. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now they got Biden care, and Biden doesn't care either. Come on. So why would I sow into my fear? I'm telling you, this is me. Does that mean that one day we might not get medical insurance? I'm not saying that. God could tell me tonight, you better get your medical insurance. But you know what? Until God says, get your medical insurance, I'm not sowing into them. I'm sowing into the house of God. You know? And Pastor Morocco told me to say this. So last year, I gave more money in 2020 than we ever gave ever. The Lord allowed us to give $68,000 to the work of the Lord. How does that happen? I'm not bragging because a lot of people gave more money than I did. But that's more money than I used to make. Come on. That's a lot of money, $68,000. I could have used that $68,000 to pay the insurance company for my medical. I'd have had the best medical on the planet. That $68,000, come on. But I'd rather give it to the house of the Lord to plant churches, cast devils out, do the work of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now you can take that what it's worth, and if you don't like it, you'll have to forgive me, okay? But here's what I want you to do. I want the ushers to come forward. I want you to do your very best that you can. Because tomorrow, I still don't know if I'm going to go to Florida. You pray for that storm, that storm will stop. I want to go home and get my clothes. So, if not, I'll fly to Los Angeles and I'll buy some and then fly to Hawaii on Tuesday. You know what I mean? It's not the end of the world. But you pray that storm will stop and won't do any damage on people's property. Oh, you hear me? Hit Louisiana. And we don't want it to hit lives. Let's pray right now for that storm. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to protect the people. We ask you to stop the storm in the name of Jesus. I speak to that storm and I command it to stop, to not do damage with business or life, and to begin to dissipate and not cause any damage in the name of Jesus. No property loss, no lives lost, no business loss. Do a miracle right now in the name of Jesus. It's 8:24 Central Standard Time. In the name of Jesus, let it be done right now as we speak, as we in agreement where two or more agree on touching anything, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. We're in agreement. Stop the storm. We don't call you Ida. We call you idiot. You move out. You move out, idiot. You move out. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. Go ahead, ushers, collect the offering. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite Sean and the praise team back up to the platform. And how many want to walk in spiritual authority? How many want to walk in spiritual authority? Hallelujah. 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 Sir, could you stand up? Could you come to the center aisle? Appreciate your fervency with my message. Stretch forth your hands to this gentleman. I need an usher to stand behind him. I need to tell you this, sir. Jesus will never turn his back on you. In fact, what Jesus is doing is Jesus is turning his face towards you. Because what you're going to do in the next 15 years of your life is you are going to be delivering people out of their mental prison. And the mental prison that I'm talking about is the kind of thinking that keeps them bound in a false belief system. You're going to loose the truth, and the truth is going to set them free. And as I said tonight, the devil does disguise himself as a humanitarian. But the Lord says you're going to get a reputation of seeing addicts delivered, depressed delivered, schizophrenics delivered, mental illness delivered, thoughts of suicide delivered. Because I'm going to take your life and I'm going to make it count. Because what the devil did to you, he's going to pay back sevenfold. Father, as I lay my hand on this man, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to impart the power of the Spirit and place it on this man to do exploits for the King and to glorify the name of Jesus. There it is. God is touching you right now. I love you. Stand up, sir. Stretch forth your hands to our brother right now. I'd like Noah and Nash to come over here and put your hands on this man's shoulders. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I loose healing in his bones. I loose healing in his bones right now. I command every muscle in his body, that every torn ligament, every tightness, everything that seems to be clamped up, to be loosed in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, people might think you're crazy, but you're going to be on the roof fixing the roof. In fact, I see you actually fixing around the chimney so the roof doesn't leak around the chimney. And because God is going to give you the supernatural balance. And there have been even moments and bouts of vertigo. But the Lord says, I bind vertigo off of you right now in the name of Jesus. And I loose balance with every one of your motor functions, your hearing, your sense of smell, all your five senses, in the name of Jesus, they will come back fully restored in the name of Jesus. There it is. God is touching you right now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and give God a shout of praise.
Amen.
Sir. Sir, right there with the red shirt, would you please stand up and come over here? Would you lift your hands to Jesus? Congregation, stretch forth your hands to this young man. The Spirit of the Lord would say this to you right now. What I'm doing with you is, you and Jesus are going to build something together where no government, no devil, no department is going to be able to tear it down. Because what God is doing with you is not that he's just building a temple inside of you, but there's going to be a day when you actually build a place that will house people who need to be set free. And it will be a house of freedom that you will build, says the Lord. And what God has done is God will give you a burden for a group of men and a group of people who have nowhere to go because they're orphans and do not have a father. And you will be a father to an orphan generation, son. And you will have Bible study. You will have curriculum. You begin to teach them. And you will build their identity back so they can be responsible and begin to bear fruit that lasts, says the Lord. Because what I'm doing you is I'm taking your hands, I'm taking what I put in your heart, I'm taking your trowel, and I'm taking your sword, and you're going to be a Nehemiah in this city, and you're going to build things that the enemy has torn down, and you're going to do it very quickly, and I'm going to send a support system, and I'm going to send an endorsement, but I'm going to also send the prophetic to encourage you and to encourage you. I'm going to send the word, because as I said this morning, man does not live upon bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The Lord says there's nothing, there's no one that's going to stop the project. I will even begin to, listen, this is crazy, but I will begin to even turn weather patterns into your favor. Storms will come, but you will stand on the rock and you say, no, it's not coming to my house. Storms will try to take away what God said. It's not coming to my house. Because all your life, you've had to fight for what you got. It hasn't come easy. Yet at the same time, there's still a fight in you. But you've got to teach a generation how to fight. Because you've got to help them fight. Because there's certain battles you can't fight for them. Oh, you want to, but you can't fight. You can kill a giant that you have been called to kill, but you can't kill their own personal giant. They have to kill them. But I'm going to show you how to train them to kill their giants so that their giants don't kill them. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch him right now. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. I want everyone to stand. I want everyone to stand all over the room. How many want to walk in spiritual authority? How many want to walk in spiritual authority? Then here's what I want you to do. Because tonight's a night of impartation. On the count of three, I want you to run to this altar. One, two, three. Come right now. Come right now. Go ahead, Sean.
The God, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker.
The reason I called you out is not that you to embarrass. God is not into that. What God is into is God is into seeing you succeed. And back when you were 7 years old, this is a word of knowledge, everything sort of defragmented, kind of like, and defragment is like things scattered, family scattered, stability scattered. And so it's like you grew up not knowing who you were, and it wasn't your fault. And so you feel like you never really had a place of value. But I need to tell you this right now. The fact that you're standing here and this crazy preacher is preaching to you and prophesying to you is God saying, I have so much value for you. Because what was stolen from you, what was stolen from you is a father's love was stolen. God says, that's the gift I'm giving back to you. Because there was a moment, and I'm just going to be very, very, very open and transparent, because I know you won't be embarrassed, when you didn't feel like you could, you didn't even want to breathe anymore. So you, it was easy for you to push the self-destructive button. You could cut yourself. You could do all kinds of things that were to inflict on yourself, because who's going to love me? Who's going to love me in the condition that I'm in? I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this straight, because God loves you. That was not you. That was the enemy. Because the enemy doesn't want you to succeed. Because what's going to happen? All because here's what they do. The school counselor, the counselors that say all the kinds of things, they don't know what they're doing. They only do what they know. They don't operate in the gifts of the Spirit. They operate based on human wisdom. And human wisdom cannot comfort the ache in your heart. Because it's an ache for affection and acceptance, regardless of how you behave or not. It's called unconditional love. And the Spirit of God says the unconditional love of the Father is your inheritance. It belongs to you right now. And all God wants you to do is say yes to it. Because the thing is, the enemy has been after you, lying to your mind, telling you you're not beautiful, telling you you're not worthy, telling you all kinds of lies. So what it does is it keeps you locked up and paralyzed in your mind. It even has affected your health. It has affected you physically. But here's what's going to happen tonight. Tonight, God wants you to walk out of this church completely set free. Amen. Completely set free. Amen. Completely, completely set free. Hallelujah. 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 Put your hand on her forehead right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I speak to this young lady. And I command everything that tries to attach itself to her that don't belong to her. It is no longer legal for that to attack her anymore. She is a child of God. She belongs to Jesus. She has a destiny. She is supposed to be a teacher one day. She is supposed to teach school. She's super intelligent and she loves children. Let it be done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Never to be the same again. There it is. God is touching you right now. God is touching you right now. Lift your hands to Jesus. Lift your hands to Jesus right now. Put your hand on her tummy right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Loose her right now. And never to be the same. Come on and give God a shout of praise. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Come on and worship Him. Come on and worship Him.
Light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, my promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
Let me tell you something. How many want to walk in such of authority that hell knows your name? Oh, come on. Paul, we know, but who are you? Why? Because we become a threat to the powers of darkness. See, the gates of hell wouldn't want to come in unless you're a threat. Come on. The gates of hell would not want to come into your temple unless the gates of hell was afraid of you. Are you hearing me? Let me just tell you, the world's afraid of the church. Especially people who know who they are. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because ladies and gentlemen, I've seen, you know, we were in California one time. We're having revival, and the youth pastor's wife worked in a psychiatric hospital. The head psychiatrist was a lady who was a lesbian. Welcome to our world. So I'm preaching. I'm not talking about, I didn't even know that. I mean, I'm not talking about that lifestyle, nothing. I give an altar call. She's way in the back of the church. She makes at a beeline and runs in the first one in the church and comes down to the altar and weeps and gives her heart to God. That's why I'm not afraid of the laws of the land. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm not afraid of what Congress passes or doesn't.
Amen.
Because the Supreme Court is not supreme.
Amen.
I don't care who says they're supreme. They're not supreme. They're not the Supreme Court.
Amen.
The Supreme Court is in the court of heaven.
Praise God.
And there's one God and one Lord. Come on.
Amen.
Are you hearing? And one Holy Spirit and one Son. That's who, that is the Supreme Court. Come on. And our Constitution is the Word of God. Come on. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful. I am very thankful for the Constitution of the United States. On a personal level. But I do know American history. And the American government has constantly and consistently broken their own constitution. So if we put our trust and get our authority from the Constitution, we is in trouble, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Because you got people, you know, they're on one side of the fence of the vaccine, so they're fighting the vaccine. Now I praise God for doing that. It's not unconstitutional. I agree with that. But ladies and gentlemen, you can't fight a demon with the American Constitution. It doesn't work. You fight the demon with the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Can I get an amen right now? I want you to turn. How many appreciate Pastor Dennis and Pastor Karen? Come on, how many appreciate them? Meliana, would you come up here? Meliana had a word for them. You got to prophesy over them.
I'm going to pray over you guys. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your son and your daughter. I thank you, Father, how you raised them up, oh God. And I pray, oh God, they know the authority that they have, oh God. I pray, oh God, for if any legacy, oh God, that they will impart, oh God, to a generation, even to this church, oh God, they will impart to them, oh God, of knowing who they are and the authority that they have. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you continue to use them mightily, oh God, to destroy the work of darkness, oh God. Not only, oh God, in this city, in this church, oh God, but in this region. I thank you, Father, that you continue to give them wisdom. I thank you, Father, you continue to guide them, oh God, to accomplish everything that you have called them to do, oh God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you so fill them, oh God, with your power, your knowledge, your authority, oh God. And I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, God. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you continue to give them, oh God, vision, oh God, a fresh vision, oh God, of everything that you have called them to do, oh God, because there is so much more, oh God. People are afraid, they are not. And I thank you, Jesus, you're going to use them, oh God, to be an example, oh God, for a world that is so afraid and don't know who they are. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Stretch forth your hands toward them. And Meliana, put your hands on both of them, if you would, please. Pastor Dennis and Pastor Karen, I just need to say this prophetically. Pastor Karen, put your hand on Pastor Dennis's heart. When Meliana's praying, I said, God, what's the word for him? And this is what he said. And this is so unlike you, but you're going to be called upon to deal with conflict in ministry. And what God is going to give you and give you an impartation is how to navigate through conflicts where other people are dealing with conflicts in their churches, lives, marriages, and they seemingly can't find the solution. and they're going to be leaders are going to be calling upon you in the coming days so that you can give them your take on what to do. Because, son, all the days of your life, I have given you counsel. And you have listened to my counsel. That's why I called you here. That's why you built this building. That's why you did what you did. Because you understood that my counsel works. And the Lord says, you're going to get a reputation of carrying the counsel of the Lord. And that God is going to mark this scripture. It's found in Jeremiah 23:22, I believe, or 23:23. But it says, if you had listened to my counsel, I would have give you a word so that my people would be sustained. And the Lord says, "You have, because at his counsel is where we get the word of the Lord." And what he was addressing was the false prophets who were giving the nation and the priests wrong counsel. And because you and Karen have decided to sit in the throne room of God and hear the counsel of God rather than even your own opinions, because you do have opinions and you're not shy about sharing them, but at the end of the day, you want the counsel of the Lord burning upon your lips, and you even withstood your own opinion and held your opinion back and released the counsel of God, which actually represents great self-control. And because of that self-control, there are ministers and ministries even within the state of Missouri, within an hour radius of this church, that are in trouble because of listening to the wrong voices. And what you're going to do is help them listen to the right voice, says the Lord. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, I bless them right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Come on and give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hand on your heart all over the house. I want you to say this: Jesus, I have spiritual authority to bind demonic power and loose the supernatural power of God. Lord God, use me to use my voice to have discernment, to bring freedom to captives and glorify your Son. In the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands and thank him all over the house. Thank him all over the house. Thank him all over the house tonight. God, we thank you. You can put your hands down. I feel like I got to do this. With heads bowed and people praying and nobody looking around, I want to ask a question. Because I'm going to say this to you. If you're in this room and you say, "Preacher, demons are attacking me and I want to be set free." Whether that demon is a demon of depression or sickness or disease or wrong emotion or whatever it is, don't go home with it. Does that mean you're demon-possessed? No, it doesn't. It means that a demon is depressing you. That's the problem. That's even the problem with some of the teaching in our Bible college. They don't understand spiritual warfare. And they don't understand what demons do. Because they simply say, well, you can't be... They simply don't separate between oppression and possession. There's a difference. But if you're in that place and you say, "Preacher, I want to be completely set free tonight," whatever it may be, on the count of three, here's what I want you to do. I want you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. That's me. I see that hand. Thank you for that honesty. Here's what I want you to do. If you've raised your hand If I can make, if you guys can make room, young people, I want those that raise your hand to come stand right up, put your feet right along these steps. Right along these steps. Right along these steps. I want you to come put your, because here's what's going to happen. Sean is going to sing. And I'm going to come and I'm going to lay hands on you. And I believe that whatever is attacking you, whatever is was controlling you, is going to leave your life in the name of Jesus. How do I know that? Because that's what happens. That's what happens. And I'm going to believe that if it's a habit, if it's an addiction, if it's something that you can't overcome, because let me just tell you right now, whatever it might be an addiction to pornography, it might be all kind of different, an addiction to something else. It doesn't make you demon possessed. It's, you have a stronghold that needs to be broken off your life. It may be a demon of fear. How many know demons can come in? Because here's the thing. Peter had, when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," Peter was speaking out of fear. He was afraid that if Jesus went to the cross, what would happen to him? He'd lose everything. Which was the demon of fear. He had the demon was oppressing him. David got a demon of depression that attacked him. Saul let the demon in and didn't do anything about it because he completely disobeyed God. Father, in the name of Jesus, go ahead and worship Sean.
You are here, moving in our midst. Worship you. We worship you. You are here working in this place. Worship you. Worship you. You are here touching every heart. Worship you. Worship you. You are here, oh, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you're turning lives. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, oh Lord. I worship you. You're mending hearts. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you, yeah. I worship you, oh Lord. You're my way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, release, Lord, release my way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, declare that is who you are. 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 Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. evidence is all around. Oh, he is here. That the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love.
Jesus, I put you at notice, you demon of fear, that attempts to paralyze the future of these that are standing before me, that you do not have authority over their mind or over their will or over their conversation or over their decision making. Because they will not allow their fear to actually cause them to actually paralyze their destiny. That will not happen with these. They will not allow the fear of what might happen with them. They might the fear of failure. The fear of not having enough. The fear of an uncertain future. The fear of COVID-19 and all that's around us. The fear of war. And will not let fear control them, because they will be people of faith. I lose faith in the room. I said that to somebody. I'm going to say this again. God needs a prophet that's awake, because they're asking, stop this storm. Stop this storm. May we be so strong in our spirit that we're able to stop the storms of this world. Not because we're somebody, but because Jesus lives in us, and that makes us a somebody. Because we're servants, God, we're servants. Father, make them leaders. Make them world changers. Make them politicians. Make them what you want them to be, oh God. I pray for that right now in the name of Jesus.
We thank you, Lord.
Don't let them be asleep with a video game in their hand, drowning their entire future out while they're in the basement with their video in a world is dying and suffering when God needs them to awaken to purpose. Not that they can't enjoy moments of entertainment. No, you're not like that, God. Let them know their responsibility. And let them not run and flee from their responsibility. Father, I pray that they be so biblically literate that they break this crazy theology that's running rampant through the church, that is a powerless, miraculousless, nothing of the Spirit, that has no life in it but human effort. May they refute it both biblically and experience with your power upon their mouths and lips and lives. May the fruit speak for themselves. Yes, Lord Jesus, we have so many organizations, even in this city, doing humanitarian aid. We have organizations all over America doing humanitarian, but they're not changing culture. They're not turning the world upside down. Father, use these that are standing before me to turn the world upside down, because they've been filled with the Spirit of God. Now lift your hands and thank Him, those of you in the front, for God delivering you. Thank Him right now. Thank Him right now. Thank Him right now.
We thank and praise you, Lord.
We thank
Hallelujah.
You, God.
Glory and honor be
we
you.
We thank you. Now hold your hands out like this, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want you to say this. Jesus.
Jesus.
I'm anointed. I don't need a gun. I have spiritual authority. That is more powerful than human bullets. Because whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever I loose on earth will be loosed into heaven. And right now, I live off of that revelation.
Live off your revelation.
I walk out that revelation. I use it in my day-to-day life. And I will not forget this message. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Give God a shout of praise right now. Give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you glad you came to church? Are you glad you came to the house of God? Hallelujah. Let me just say this to you. I know that there were different individuals that received prophetic ministry these last 3-4 services. But I do want to tell you this. You might say, well, man, I want a prophecy. Well, let me just tell you. You got a prophecy. Because I put a timer up here in my iPhone. And according to my iPhone, I don't know what happened. Somebody shut it off.
Somebody.
My wife wants to shut it off. But I know that I stopped preaching. I know that I stopped preaching at 1 hour and 9 minutes. So I've been up on this platform 2 hours at least. And I am not tired. I am going to my second wind because we're going to have another service at the restaurant. But I want to tell you, if you did not receive a prophecy, I don't want you to feel robbed, because for 1 hour and 9 minutes I prophesied. You can ask my wife. She hears me every night. I prophesy. This morning I prophesied for 1 hour. Saturday night I prophesied for 1 hour. And Friday night I prophesied for 45 minutes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But ladies and gentlemen, you know, I'm still reeling. Come on, just like I I get hit by things. You know, it comes reciprocal. Can you imagine trying to set somebody free of something they don't got? It's impossible. He didn't have epilepsy. That demon was making that kid act that way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, that's why, church, you can't believe what the world says about your kids. You know what they told my daughter? They told my daughter she was bipolar when she's 17. Most 17-year-old girls are bipolar. Sorry, guys. Sorry if you're 17. Please forgive me. No, I mean, it's called groving. And when they said that, I remember I was up at Teen Challenge in Riverside, California, when Meliana called me and told me that. I'll never forget as long as I said, you get Leilani out of there right now. Because you can't medicate selfishness. She had a selfish demon. And that selfish demon was making her behave the way she was behaving. So we got that thing cast out. I'm so glad I didn't give her a pill, because I believe personally, now you don't have to agree with me, but I can show you in the Bible. So I believe the Bible. Now, let me ask you this. Has the Bible ever mentioned oppositional defiant disorder? You know what? Because they call it a demon. That's the Bible's definition. Because I believe that psychosomatic disorders are demonic and need to be cast out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the enemy attacks the minds of a generation. I can't sit in front of a TV set with videos watching killing people and then expect to go to a school and listen to a teacher who can't talk. Are you hearing me? You know what I'm saying? So, and then, well, you're ADHD. No, he's not. He's not ADHD. He just needs to have that demon cast out. Come on. Are you hearing me? Are you glad you came to church? Come on. Are you glad you came to church? Father, thank you for your people. I love them, God, and you love them more. Bless them. And maybe every word that they got, they may hang on and live it out. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Pastor Jason.
Amen. 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 Would you thank the Harkies, please? One. Praise God. You can go back to your seats. I'm just going to close real quickly, but I want to share a passage I hope you will take with you from these meetings. And I hope you're able to make every meeting. But if you weren't, there will all be, at least the audio will be online. This morning will be on YouTube, but I think all the other ones will be. You need to go back and listen to these messages. I'm going to go back, listen to them. They're powerful, powerful, powerful messages. But I want to leave you with this. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I could read this whole chapter. I'm just looking. I'm just going to start it. I'm going to read the whole chapter. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness. You're not in the darkness. You're not in the darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. You are children, all. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Talking about sleeping prophets. Let us not sleep. As do others, but let us watch. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath. Aren't you glad for that? God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage, comfort yourselves together, and build up one another, edify one another, even as also you do. Were you edified this weekend? Were you edified tonight, today, built up, encouraged? We beg you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, this is where I was going to start. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil or wrong for wrong to any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now listen to this. Do not put out the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Don't put out the Spirit. Don't extinguish the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Don't despise them. Don't despise them. Don't talk them down. Don't ridicule them. Don't say that they're just for an age that's past and it's not for today. Don't despise them. Prove all things. Hold firmly that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And this is my prayer for all of you tonight. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Guess there was no COVID back then. I order you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now listen, we've had, again, a lot of good messages. I think the message on protecting the prophetic word that has been prophesied over you, prophesied over your family, prophesied over your loved ones, prophesied over this church. You need to protect it, protect it, protect it with your words, with your attitude. Now, don't take this the wrong way. Actually, I don't. I'm taking this the wrong way. But I'm not saying anyone who wasn't here tonight is a stumbling block. And he talked about stumbling blocks. You don't want to be a stumbling block. But I do know who is not a stumbling block. The ones who came. The ones who came are not stumbling blocks. So, Father, I pray blessing on each of these people tonight. I thank you, Lord, for blessing them. I thank you for blessing the Harkies and all that you've called them to do. God, I pray, God, you continuously, Lord, open the doors for them, Lord Jesus, and protect them everywhere they go. And may God bless them, prosper them, Lord, as they go and they encourage the church. And I just pray, God, that you would continue to anoint them powerfully and their family and the generations to come. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen. Oh. Father, we lift up Amy, God, and we just pray for your grace and your mercy and your healing touch upon her, Lord, tonight. And we pray, God, that you would raise her up, Lord, from this bed of sickness. And Lord, we speak life into that room that she's in. We speak life, and we pray, God, the breath of life, the breath of God fills her lungs and raises her back up. Lord, we pray for her tonight. We pray you touch her tonight and bring healing, Lord. We pray, God, for Jonathan's mom tonight, Lord Jesus. And we pray, God, that you would touch her as well, Lord, as she struggles, Lord. But we are praying and we're believing, God, that you're going to do something miraculous, God. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, we pray, God, for healing. Lord Jesus, Jesus, you are perfect theology. You are perfect theology. And we know you don't make people sick. You heal people. So we pray, God, healing on every person, Lord, that's been impacted, every family member, every person, Lord, that is battling this, Lord. We just pray, God, for healing, and we pray, God, that you would break this demonic thing, Lord, off of all these people, off of this nation and nations around the world, Lord. It is not more powerful than our God. And so we praise you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for comforting the families that are praying and believing, God, for these people, Lord. Comfort them with your grace and your mercy, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.
Miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all.